echoes of the beloved spills from in the air, lighting hearts with mercy beyond all compared. Echoes of the beloved.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode on this special transmission, Echoes of the Beloved. Since we are very close to the blessed 12th of Rabi'un Nur Sharif, 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, the blessed birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, today is actually our final episode, and we are going to be highlighting the excellences, the merits of this great day of the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. So I'm sure that, mashallah Zawajal, you are watching other programs, silsilas on Madani Channel, where we are talking about the glory of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and this blessed day. So stay tuned. And once again, we are honored to have our honorable ulama to discuss this beautiful topic of the 12th of Rabi'un Nur Sharif, Mawlana Tabriz Nuri Sahab, Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are ulama ikram doing?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal, mashallah.
Well, finally, we have reached the 12th of Rabi'un Nur Sharif,
alhamdulillah,
the glorious day, mashallah azza wa jal. It is actually this blessed birth, the time itself, it's mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, who is a confirmed and, you know, great scholar of Islam, that this 12th of Rabi'un Nur Sharif night is even greater than Laylatul Qadr.
Allah.
He says that Laylatul Qadr, we got the Quran. And subhanallah azza wa jal, if it wasn't for 12th of Rabi'un Nur Sharif and the arrival of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not have received the Quran Sharif, subhanallah. So stay tuned, beautiful discussion we are going to have. For now, let's remember that niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay, let's make some good intentions right now. Oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, what I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahul Kareem. It is mentioned that the person who recites salawat, durud-e paak, 1,000 times daily, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said, this person will not die until he sees his place in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Don't we all want that great fortune and privilege? Then instead of wasting away our short, precious life in unnecessary conversations, useless activities, frivolous activities that have no real benefit, every day of your life, make up your mind that every day I need to recite the Quran, I need to recite Durud-e-Paak, Istighfar, make sincere Tawbah, and obey Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi wa Sallam. Let's now listen to a splendid kalam and we will continue on our discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Mubarak ho, 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 mubarak
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Data ke
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Achhe ke
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Jhuma
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Jhuma Sarkar ki Ahmad
marhaba,
Jhuma Sardar ki Ahmad
marhaba,
Aga ki Ahmad
marhaba,
Dada ke Ahmad
marhaba,
Jhuma
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Dada ke
Ahmad Ahmad hai, Ahmad Ahmad hai,
Mubarak مبارک ہو وہ شاہ پردیس باہر آنے والا ہے مبارک ہو وہ شاہ پردیس باہر آنے والا ہے مبارک ہو وہ شاہ پردیس باہر آنے والا ہے گدائی کو زمانہ جس کے در پر آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
اچھے کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھنت
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
کہاں ہے ٹوٹی امیدیں کہاں ہے بے سہارے دل کہاں ہے ٹوٹی امیدیں کہاں ہے بے سہارے دل کہاں ہے ٹوٹی امیدیں کہاں ہے بے سہارے دل کہ وہ فریاد رس میں کس کا یاور آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
اچھے کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
مبارک درد مندوں کو مجدا بے قراروں کو مبارک درد مندوں کو مجدا بے قراروں کو مبارک درد مندوں کو مجدا بے قراروں کو قرار دل شکیب جان مضطر آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھوم سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم آقا کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم دادا کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
سلاطین زمانہ جس کے در پر بھیک مانگیں گے سلاطین زمانہ جس کے در پر بھیک مانگیں گے سلاطین زمانہ جس کے در پر بھیک مانگیں گے فقیروں کو مبارک وہ تونگر آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
اچھے کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھنت
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
یہ سما ہو رہے تھے مدتوں سے جس کی آمد کے یہ سما ہو رہے تھے مدتوں سے جس کی آمد کے یہ سما ہو رہے تھے مدتوں سے جس کی آمد کے فقین و شاخ باسد شوکتوں پر آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
اچھے کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
حسن کہتے اٹھیں سب امتی تعظیم کی خاطر حسن کہتے اٹھیں سب امتی تعظیم کی خاطر حسن کہتے اٹھیں سب امتی تعظیم کی خاطر کہ اپنا پیشوا اپنا پیغمبر آنے والا ہے جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
داتا کی
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھوم سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم آقا کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم دادا کی آمد
مرحبا
جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
جھوم
آمد آمد ہے آمد آمد ہے
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ما شاء الله عز وجل. I'm sure you enjoyed that beautiful kalam. Continue listening to these types of kalams. You can visit YouTube and check out Dawood Islami's official page called Naat Production. May Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif, time and again. Ameen bijahi khuatamin nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When there's a newborn in a person's home, there's joy everywhere. There's happiness everywhere. There's decorations. Subhanallah azza wa jal. But what can we say about the arrival of the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. What kind of celebrations were there at that time? Did you know that Sayyida Lady Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, when she was about to deliver the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was alone in that room and she says that all of a sudden the room lights up. And I see some beautiful woman entering the room, Nurani, bright woman entering the room. And I'm curious as to who these ladies are. I haven't seen them before. So many of them entered. And the first one said, my name is Asiya, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. The others are all the maidens of paradise. Allahu Akbar. And then the time came for the arrival of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She herself says that when my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, so much of nur, so much of light I could see that the veils were removed and I could see the palaces of Syria because it opened up. All of those hijabs and all of those different types of veils that were there, Jibreel Amin ala Nabiina wa alayhi wasallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend at that time and to put one flag on the roof of the Kaaba, one flag in the east, Allahu one flag in the west. Allahu. Is this not a celebration?
Subhanallah.
This is a grand celebration that had taken place. And so the believers around the globe, come 12th of Rabiul Awal, Subhanallah, are celebrating, are commemorating. And yes, Shaitan, he is the one that he doesn't want to celebrate. He doesn't want people to celebrate. He doesn't want anybody to express joy and happiness because of this arrival of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose light had dispelled the darkness of disbelief.
Subhanallah
azza wa jal. Jimaan sahab, what incidences are there with regards to the Milad Sharif? Sometimes you say Milad Sharif, Eid Miladun Nabi, Maulud, Milad, Mawlid,
but various names, mashallah.
Various names, it means the same thing, but subhanAllah, this is the Eid of all Eids for the lovers and devotees of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Most definitely, Mawlid. You know, as it is rightfully said, that this is the Eid of all Eids, as if it were not for this Eid, we wouldn't have gotten any other Eid. And subhanAllah, Mawlid, as you've mentioned that, yes, there were many, not only one, but many miraculous incidents that had occurred. Some had occurred prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some had occurred during the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As it's mentioned that he was taken around the entire world for each and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recognize that this is the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, it was at this time also, she says, there was a ring. That ring was stamped between the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the seal of prophethood, the seal of nubuwwah. It's also mentioned, Mawsab, that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, all the animals, they were given the ability to speak, especially the animals of the Quraysh. And they all went to each other, they congratulated each other that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now born and has arrived into this world. Right. The sea creatures also, even the fish in the ocean, they also said this words of congratulations to each other that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has arrived and he is now born into this world.
So can we call this like a global announcement that was taking place?
100%.
You know, there's something major, some incident is taking place. You make announcements like, you know, that, okay, we're having this program, this function. Mm-hmm. So imagine the creatures of the sea, the creatures of the land, they are making this announcement to the entire world that mercy to the universes has arrived. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Truly, truly amazing, Mawsab. And apart from that, right, there was also a very amazing incident which had occurred. This was just prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Way in, there was a person by the name of Amir Yamani.
Right.
And he says that he had a daughter. She was very ill. She was suffering from diseases like leprosy and a couple other diseases as well. And she could not walk. So the narration says that he and his wife, they had one idol. Right. And they would, for many, many years, they would talk to this idol. And when they saw that their daughter is not well, they went to the idol. They said, "Oh, idol, my daughter is sick. She isn't well. Grant her cure. Grant her shifa." At that time, they weren't Muslims. Right. So this idol, now, of course, it is an idol. It is a stone. What answer could it give? It couldn't give any response. It can't help in any way. So what they did was, the wife said that, you know what, for how long are you going to call out to this idol? The husband says, yes, for how long are we going to call out for this idol? And as they are discussing this on the rooftop of their house, suddenly they see a light, a rays of light that illuminated the entire sky.
Allah.
They saw this and they see that light, it's encircling a particular house. And so they said at that time, that idol, it fell flat on its face. And not only that, Mawsab, the idol also started to speak. And that idol said that, know that the final prophet has arrived.
Allah.
And he will be the one who will split the moon into two. He will be the one upon whom when he walks, the clouds will be providing him with shade. And the idol gave so much of khush khabri, so much of glad tidings, so much of good news. And when this was being told, as this is going on, his daughter suddenly appears on the rooftop of the house. Initially, she couldn't walk.
Yes.
She couldn't get off the bed. She was sick. And now she comes on the roof and her father, her mother, they see her, they said, "Daughter, what has happened to you? A while ago, so long you were sick, you couldn't move anyway. How is it now that you are on the rooftop right in front of our eyes?" So the daughter says that, "As I was sleeping, I was unaware of my surroundings. And I could see like there was so much of light, everywhere got illuminated. And then a saintly person like appeared in front of me. And I asked him that, what is this light? And who are you?" So the saintly person says that this light that you see, it is the light of the son of Adnan. Adnan, as we've mentioned in the previous episodes, Adnan is one of the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who I am? I am an angel honored to convey the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. So this daughter, she says that, "Do you know what difficulty I am in? I cannot walk. I am sick. I have this illness. I have that illness." The angel says, "Yes, what you should do is you should make dua using the medium and the wasila of this noor of this light," meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the angel further says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "I have kept my secret and proof in the entity of the beloved. Whoever makes dua with the intercession of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will remove his difficulty. And those who are disobedient to me, I will make my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an intercessor for them on the day of Qiyamah." Now, when she heard this, she says that, "I spread out my hand, I made dua, and I wiped my hand over my entire body. I made dua using the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And she tells the father that, "Now you are seeing me as I am." And so he gets so happy, he gets so joyous listening to this miraculous event that he tells his wife, "Now we have to go in search of this noor. We have to go in search of this light. He says, I will go in the jungles, I will travel no matter what it takes me, but I will definitely go in search of this light. So him, his wife, the family members, they now travel in search for this light. As they're traveling, they entered Makkah al-Mukarrama and they asked for the address of the house of Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. They were given the address. They go to the house, they knock on the door, she opens it, and they say that we have come here to see your newborn baby son. We want to have a glimpse of his face. We want to see him. Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, at that point she said, no, I will not allow you to see him. Because I don't know who y'all are. I know that the unbelievers, the kuffar, they would, if they see him, then they would kill him. And y'all want to come and view him. I do not know who y'all are. So they say that, don't worry, we are not bad people. Rather, we were on a false religion. And upon, we witnessed something very miraculous. We witnessed an illuminating light that lit up the entire world. We saw that light encircling your house. And for that, we want to now come and we want to, you know, we were in search of the true religion and this has guided us to your house. So Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, okay, wait here, I will come now. She goes inside, she does something and she comes out. She tells them that now you come in. As they come in, they see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an infant, of course, at the time. And they got so blown away by the noor, by the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they went close to him and they kissed his Mubarak baby hands. They kissed his hand and how fortunate. And at that point and moment, narration says that they let out a scream type that they were so close to their souls being departed from their bodies.
Allah, Allah.
That's how drowned and captivated they were in seeing the noor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, okay, now y'all may leave from here. They go, but their thirst is not yet quenched. They can't get over what they have just seen. So the father, Amir Yamani, he requests and he says, I want to go back to the house. I want to see the Nurani face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was granted permission. He goes in and he takes his last glance at the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And right by the Mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he let out a loud cry and his soul departed from his body at the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So subhanallah, so from this incident we see how joyous they were in hearing about the mawlid, in hearing about the arrival and the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they left their home, they left not even their home, they left their country in all of it, and they traveled to Makkah al-Mukarramah just to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, what a terrific story. This is muhabba and love. That noor of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which arrived and which guided them towards iman, towards the oneness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masab, as they say the beautiful kalam,
kya baat,
noor wala subhanallah, noor lekar aaya hai sare alam mein, ye dekho kaisa noor chhaya hai. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. Jab talak ye chand tare jilmilate jayenge, jab talak ye chand tare jilmilate jayenge, tab talak jashn-e-viladat hum manate jayenge. Noor wala aaya hai, noor lekar aaya hai sare alam mein, ye dekho kaisa noor chhaya hai.
Subhanallah, mashallah. So you too, don't get left behind. Make sure that your homes are decorated. Make sure that your children get involved in putting up those decorations. Create the lovely atmosphere, because Muslims around the world are celebrating, are commemorating as well. Only shaitan and those whom he influences, then they get left behind. Maybe some people might have this evil whispering of shaitan in their hearts and their minds, that you're talking about Milad Sharif, Maulud, but where is this mentioned in the glorious Quran? So what answer can we give for this?
Allahu Akbar. Simple, ya Sayyidi, very simple. Allah Kareem has mentioned in the Holy Quran, Pak, subhanallah, at numerous places. Mm-hmm. You look at Surah Ali Imran, look at Surah Yunus, look at Surah Duha, in various other parts of the Holy Quran, Pak. Allah Kareem in Surah Ali Imran mentions so beautifully, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla has indeed bestowed a great favor upon the Muslims that He Azza wa Jalla sent to them a messenger from amongst them. Allah Kareem has done a great favor. Yani the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is labeled as a great favor, Sayyidi.
Absolutely.
Subhanallah. It's called a great favor which Allah has done for the people, for the humans, that He sent to them from amongst them a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Yunus, Allah Azza wa Jalla states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ بِفَضُلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say you, yani, O beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only Allah's bounty and His mercy, and only upon it they should rejoice.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. That is better than all of their wealth. Yani in this verse, Allah Kareem is saying, subhanallah, that it is only upon the mercy and the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is only His grace and mercy that we receive in this world. Only upon His bounty and His grace and mercy is what the Muslim should rejoice about. Subhanallah.
Okay.
Subhanallah. And then he says, rejoicing upon these bounties better than all of the wealth that we have accumulated. How much of happiness a person gains when he accumulates wealth,
Allah,
when he hoards the wealth. A person sees, I have done so much of good, I have accumulated so much of wealth. The happiness a person receives after accumulating so much of wealth, Allah Kareem says, better than that rejoicing is for you to rejoice upon the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah Kareem recalls a favor, if Allah Kareem counts a favor that He has done upon us after numerous favors, after countless favors, He says, subhanallah, I have done you a favor by sending to you my messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But is this not the greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us? That He has sent His beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if we think about it, if Allah Jalla Jalaluhu did not send Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would be the world, the state of the world?
Allahu Akbar.
What would be the condition of the
what
people?
What would be the condition of
the
world?
I mean, we already know in pre-Islamic Arabia how, you know, bad things were. Oppression was the order of the day. People didn't have rights. Women didn't have rights. Little girls were
buried alive.
100%. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives, and His nur and His light and His guidance and teachings removes all of these difficulties and oppressions and injustices that were taking place.
Subhanallah.
Masab, can we say as well?
Ji.
That if a person is asking, and this is just, it's only the waswasa and evil whispering of shaitan, that where is this written in the Quran? So can't we ask that where is it forbidden in the Quran?
Kya baat hai Madina ki?
Does the Quran forbid it? Does the Quran, does the Sharia prohibit it? So who are you to try and prohibit it, to try and stop it?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the thing, Sayyidi. When Allah Kareem in the Holy Quran Pak has mentioned the sending and the arrival of Rasulullah as His grace and mercy, as His bounty and favor. And commemorating Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is actually announcing the favor which Allah has done upon you. Because in Maulud gathering, Sayyidi, people gather together, whether it is 5, 10, 100, 5,000. And then what's done in a gathering? An educator in the form of an alim-e-deen, a mufti, a learned scholar is then called and invited. He comes to address the attendees, those who are the public, subhanallah, the participants who came to hear. So those who came never come with the niyat to just celebrate what? They know that we are coming to hear qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are coming to hear the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To teach is also thawab. To learn is also sawab in education, part of ibadat. Over and above, Sayyidi, food is prepared. Huzuri Pak spoke about feeding others for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Right.
Here the host gets food prepared with this niyat that those who will come to participate in this program, I'm going to feed them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Acha,
intermingling, meeting, greeting, making salam to brothers, mashallah, inquiring about their health, also form of thawab.
What if when somebody says that, okay, but there's men and women that are sitting together where they can see each other and there's music being played.
Subhanallah.
I haven't been to a Milad Sharif where there's music.
Allahu
Akbar. And where is all these funny
Subhanallah. I don't know. Exactly myself as well. If somebody has did it, so who is saying he has done right in the first place?
Ah.
Who is actually classifying or who is clarifying that the wrong is right? No. Wrong is wrong and right will always remain as right. Sayyidi Allah Kareem in the Holy Quran Pak states very beautifully, wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. In Surah Duha, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and publicize well the bounty of your Lord.
Allah.
Publicize well. So how do we publicize this greatest bounty? As Mu'asab mentioned, the world was clouded by the darkness of infidelity, kufr, shirk, haram, murdering, killing, deceiving, Allah, cheating. All of the gunas you can think of, Sayyidi, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right up to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. How many prophets came in between to guide those? To guide those tyrant nations that caused so much of oppression upon their prophets who came to guide them. When all of those oppressions reached its optimum level, now the world needed the greatest guide. Not only humans, jinns were awaiting, other creatures were awaiting such a Mubarak arrival. And then the time comes when Allah Azza wa Jalla sent His greatest favor to help people not to enter into Jahannam, but rather sent such a prophet who came to extract and pull them out from the pits of infidelity and darkness and bring them to light, subhanAllah.
Allah.
And He is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today if we sit here and we are making shukr to Allah, we are thanking Allah that You made us His ummati. We thank You for sending us amongst Your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for Your beloved Habib to be born amongst humans, subhanAllah, amongst insan. Huzur, this is such a great favor which Allah has done upon the people.
Absolutely.
Or else, how else would the world have gained guidance, Sayyidi? Imagine Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and He gave the solutions to those sicknesses and those viruses which had corrupted the human mindset, corrupted moralities, and made people with good morals became immoral people, a very bad society. And He came and He says, well, Allah Kareem had sent me to complete good manners, subhanAllah. He gave the solutions for those problems which makes a person forget the oneness of Allah. He gave the solutions to those problems, Sayyidi, which makes a human kamil and complete, subhanAllah. So from all of this we learn, Sayyidi, that He Azza wa Jalla has mentioned this great favor in the Quran Pak, yani the arrival of Huzuri Pak. Somebody may ask, where is it in the Holy Quran Pak? As Mu'asab mentioned as well, if you cannot regard the arrival of Rasulullah as a great favor, and you cannot see that the commemoration of Miladun Nabi is actually proclaiming the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person should actually bring from the Holy Quran Pak, where is it proven that Mauludun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prohibited? Where he will find that verse, we will try and find the other as well, inshallah.
But in fact, you won't find that verse, you won't find the hadith as well prohibiting it.
Allah.
Some very important Madani pulse and discussions by Mawlana Tabriz Sahib. You know, subhanAllah azza wa jal, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did commemorate his blessed birth by fasting. When he was asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you fast on a Mondays? We know that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday, and he said that that's the day I was born. That's the day the first wahi revelation came to me. So yes, this is how we can also commemorate by fasting on Mondays with the intention that it is sunnah. And you think about it, if there is something wrong taking place at a place like a Milad function, right? Then you take out the wrong, but you keep the good. Same thing like a walima. You go to a walima where the music is blasting and there's intermingling. Is the walima bad or is that bad? You will make sure to remove the evil, uproot the evil, so that you can the good can still be maintained. And like that, if you're just having a bayan, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're just having a kirat, nothing wrong with it. If you're having a naat mi'fil, then there's nothing wrong with it, subhanAllah. But if you bring all of these things together in one program, one function, then there's nurun ala nur. So much of blessings that they are there.
In fact, Mulana Sahib, I just want to conclude with this, because Mawlana Sahib asked, and through the waswasas of shaitan, insan do object.
Right.
Till today, yet if you look at the statistics, and we have a look into the growth of Milad over the years.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Mawlud al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has grown drastically over the years.
Dramatically, yes.
Yes.
Gigi.
Alhamdulillah. You can see countries where Milad celebrations never used to take place. Now they're having, mashallah, yes, peaceful marches.
Subhanallah.
And juluses are being taken out on the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the question which Mawlana Sahib just mentioned, and subhanallah, to know that you know, Huzuri Pak Sallam would also fast on Mondays and give shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla. People ask, if Sahaba did not do this, why do you do this?
Ah,
this is the question.
That's a good question.
Sahaba Ikram would not do this, why would you do it? So it's very simple to eradicate this from the mind as well. And that is like this, Sayyidi, that subhanallah, the most authentic book after the Quran Pak is
Sahih al-Bukhari.
Sahih al-Bukhari.
Ji.
Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic.
Yes.
It is the most authentic from all books, right?
Ji, ji.
And it is very well known as well that Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, alayhi, would perform ghusl. He would offer two raka'at nafil salah, and then he would write down the hadith.
Allah.
Though, Mawlana Sahib, it's not stated anywhere that you have to do this. This was his love for the hadith of Rasulullah.
The Sahaba never do this.
The Sahaba never do this as well. There's no authentic narration to prove that the Sahaba Ikram also done this. They would hear hadith from Rasulullah, and they will convey the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Imam Bukhari, when he would hear of any hadith, he would perform this first. Ghusl, two rakat namaz, and then he would note it down. So on this basis, my question, if Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala had done this, are you going to say that his love for Rasulullah is more stronger than the Sahaba Ikram alayhi
Allah.
Because Sahaba would not perform ghusl and offer two rakat nafil salah before writing down the hadith. But Imam Bukhari would do this. So now, are you going to say that Imam Bukhari's love is more stronger because Imam Bukhari did it, Sahaba never did it, or because Sahaba never did it, why Imam Bukhari is doing it? So it doesn't mean everything they did not do, so we cannot do either.
Right.
So, subhanAllah, likewise, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, the subhanAllah, the Imam of millions of Malikis throughout the globe, the crown of our head, upon our eyes, subhanAllah.
Absolutely.
He would never answer the call of nature in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Whenever he felt the need to answer the call of nature, he would leave Madina and he would move to the outskirts and the boundaries of Madinatul Munawwara. Sayyidi, can we now compare his love to the love of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan? That because he doesn't perform this action, so his love is proven to be more than the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not the point, subhanAllah. This is every ashik and every devotee has his own andaz of expressing his love and his devotion for the Rasul of Allah azza wa jal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these points are completely baseless. In fact, Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has given a very beautiful answer to all of this, subhanAllah, in his beautiful poetry.
Ji, ji.
SubhanAllah, he says,
خاک ہو جائے عدو جل کر مگر ہم تو رضا خاک ہو جائے عدو جل کر مگر ہم تو رضا دم میں جب تک دم ہے ذکر ان کا سناتے جائیں گے یا رسول اللہ حبیب اللہ یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ.
So at the end, Huzur, we conclude with this, that the Quran Pak teaches us, وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ, and honor and revere the messenger, yani the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no limitation. There is no restriction. There is no boundary. It is very general. Honor and revere the Prophet of Allah azza wa jalla. So in this verse, there is no type of restriction that's mentioned in order to honor him and revere him. So subhanAllah, whether you are standing and reciting Durood-e Pak, whether you are sitting and reciting Durood-e Pak, whether you are in any form which is jais and permissible, however you wish to show respect and love to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, express muhabba, but do express subhanAllah.
Allah.
Many others even object to the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. Yes. Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali also mentioned, as many people prove, that from Fatawa Ziva Sharif, Ala Hazrat himself has given different dates, whether it's the 8th, whether it's the 9th, whether it's the 12th, whether it's the 10th. So in the very same Fatawa Rizviya Sharif as well, Ala Hazrat also mentioned that from amongst all the views, the 12th is of the most importance. Yani it is the most viewed date.
Of the scholars have
and majority of the scholars have had ittifaq and ittihad upon this date.
Mm-hmm.
Yani consensus on this date that the 12th of Rabiul Awal is one of the most strongest view. So Huzur, if there is any objection from Shaitan's side, satanic whispers may come. The question is whether you take it to be the 8th of Rabiul Awal, celebrate. Whether you take it to be the 12th, celebrate. As long as we are publicizing and proclaiming the bounties of Allah, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it was not for the arrival of Rasulullah, as you mentioned in the very beginning, subhanallah, if it was not for his blessed arrival, then how would we have got Laylatul Qadr Sayyidi? So this is the Eid of all Eids, most
Allah
definitely.
Some
most
very, definitely. Very important points that I think we should internalize and we should make sure the next generation knows about this.
Bishak,
because these frequent attacks of shaitan is always going to happen.
100%.
And let me tell you, celebration of Milad Sharif is also a way of disgracing shaitan. Sayyidina Allama Abdul Rahman bin Jawzi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he says the disgracing of Satan and the strengthening of the believers lies in celebrating Miladun Nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Kya baat hai Madine, we are those who celebrate. For those who don't, it means they are trapped in this tricks of shaitan. Break free from that. Don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Don't try to get caught out, because what will happen on the day of judgment if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not give us attention there? Why? Because we were against the commemorating of his blessed Milad Sharif. Yes, do it properly. In fact, come join Dawood Islami. Come see how we do it. Whether it's the ladies only Milad Sharif or the men only Milad Sharif, or if you are on the streets with the street procession, what we call Julus-e Milad, to making that announcement to the entire world. I remember, Masab, that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, through the fadl of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had spent some time in Pakistan, right? And I think the most memorable time was the 12th of Rabiul Awal. At that exact moment, when you know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, Subh-i Bahara as they call it. And Allahu Akbar, you must know this. You're surrounded by like 7,000-8,000 plus people, and they are all Allah. In one voice, they are saying, you know, Aka ki amat marhaba. And believe me, it is so electrifying, it is unreal. In fact, I will advise any brother out there, if you really want to experience this, nah, then travel. Travel to Faizan-e Medina, Karachi, Pakistan, and spend that time in the early hours of the morning, and you'll witness for yourself what kind of electrifying atmosphere it is.
Subhanallah. You know, Masab, we were speaking about the Milad Sharif, commemorating the Milad Sharif, and mashallah, Masab has mentioned so many beautiful points that actually, you know, it actually paves the way for one to say that, you know what, Milad Sharif is a source of our success in this world as well as in the hereafter. And Milad Sharif, celebrating Milad Sharif is not something that is new. It's not something that's only of this era. Rather, it's something of the past generations as well, wherein they celebrated Milad Sharif. Our pious predecessors, the Akabirin, Milad Sharif was celebrated. Even in Madinatul Munawwara, the commemoration of Milad Sharif was held over there as well. It's mentioned that it would take place on the 12th of Rabiul Awal, immediately after sunrise. Where? At Madinatul Munawwara. It would take place there, and it was a custom, it was a tradition that on the 12th of Rabiul Awal, immediately after sunrise, a Milad Sharif gathering would be held. And four imams would be there. They would be the first imam. He would be seated on a chair, all of them on chairs, of course. And there will be a large gathering. This is now in the haram of Madinatul Munawwara, in the courtyard of Madinatul Munawwara. The first imam, he would stand up and he will give a lecture, he would give a discourse narrating the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he's done, the second imam would stand up. And he would also give a lecture regarding what? Regarding the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the third imam now will stand up. He would also deliver a lecture. And his lecture will be based on the period in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was nursed. This will be his discourse. And the fourth imam would stand up. he would give a lecture discussing the hijrah, discussing the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the end, people, they would have some sweet drink and they would be fed and they would leave the gathering with a almond halwa. At that time, it was a custom, you know, to give people almond halwa, etc. So we see that Milad is not something new. It has always been there, you know. And
in some form or the other.
In some form or the other, it has always been there. And one very, very, an eye-opener actually, that there was a person wherein it's mentioned that this elderly person, he stood in the Milad gathering from the beginning right up until the end. The entire time he stood, whether 1 hour, 2 hours, however long it was, he stood there. So someone came to him, they asked him that, I noticed you were standing in this gathering of Milad from the start to the end. Why is that? Why have you stood the entire time? So he says that, I used to consider this act of Milad, I used to consider this act of praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an act of bid'ah sayyi'ah, as a bad innovation. He says, one day I went to sleep and I dreamt that I was in a very large gathering. There were people all over me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also came. People stood up to welcome Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I remained seated. I didn't stand up. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that you will not be able to stand up. He woke up from his dream and he couldn't stand up. He says that a year passed, one whole year went like this in the stress and anxiety, where I couldn't stand up. And then he says that I made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I would stand up in the gatherings of Milad from the start to the end. I would stand up for it, but grant me the ability to stand up. So Allah ta'ala accepted his vow, granted him good health as well. And then he says, due to that, every time there is a Milad gathering, I now stand up in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I now stand up in the respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a Milad gathering from the start to the end. So here we see, look at how, you know, people, they honored, they respected the Milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So it's always been there. It's always been there. Even today, subhanAllah azawajal, do you know that many, many Muslim countries out there, and you can check this up for yourself as well, that the 12th of Rabiul Awal is a public holiday. Because they know people are commemorating. Which better public holiday you can get than 12th of Rabiul Nur Sharif, Eid Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since we're talking about Eid, some people may say that, no, there's only two Eids that we know of. Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, subhanallah. Let me ask you this, yeah, subhanallah. What does Eid mean? Eid means a joyous occasion. What can be more joyous than the arrival of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to this world? As Mawlana Tabari Sahib has clearly mentioned that, you know, the Quran doesn't prohibit it. The hadith don't prohibit it. And we are there to also rejoice on the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And furthermore, a hadith have mentioned that Friday, Jumu'ah, is a day of Eid. How many Jumu'ahs do we have, subhanallah, for 1 year? 50 plus Jumu'ahs? 50 plus Eids are isna. So from that context, that it is a day of joy and happiness, that Eid Miladun Nabi is also valid, subhanallah azza wa jal. At Milad function, sometimes a person may say that you all are spending so much of money on the lighting and Allah calling speakers Allah. And on the food, and you know, you need chairs and tables, and you all are wasting money.
Decorations.
On the decorations, you all are just wasting money. Can't you all use the same money for the poor and needy?
Allahu Akbar. Such people who trapped in this waswasa of shaitan, again, another waswasa, another trick of shaitan. One of the tricks of shaitan is actually the bid'at and the innovation issue and matter, which never goes to rest, Sayyidi, right? We're going to get back to that. But I think a certain principle should be in the mindset of each and every person who is attacked by this waswasa of Iblis or If you are in a situation where somebody asked you this question, this principle should be in mind. لا خير في الإسراف ولا إسراف في الخير. Allahu Akbar. So there is no goodness whatsoever in wastage.
Right.
There is no goodness. And that's true. There is لا خير في الإسراف. There is no goodness in wastage. ولا إسراف في الخير. And there is no wastage in spending in good. Subhanallah. There is no wastage in spending on permissible and good matters, Ya Sayyidi. This is the general and the normal principle in Islam.
Right.
So a great Tabi'i saint by the name of Hazrat Sayyiduna Mujahid Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he had actually stated that if a person was to spend wealth equivalent to Mount Uhud, how big is Mount Uhud, Sayyidi? How great and how gigantic is Mount Uhud? Massive, right? If a person has to spend wealth and money equivalent to Mount Uhud in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, even then it is not counted as wastage.
Allah subhanallah.
Just in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you want to show how obedient you are to your Rabb, to your Creator, and you take that amount of wealth and you spend in His path.
Subhanallah.
That cannot be called wastage because why? It is spent in the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
No matter how much it can be.
No matter how much it can be. Now keep that principle in mind. That, that's also a large amount of money.
Yeah.
But look at where it's spent. Because of the reason of where it's spent, it's not counted as wastage. For another example, that the whole world can see every year, millions of people go for Hajj. We see the beautiful ghilaf of the Holy Kaaba. People should know around 20 to 25 million is spent only on the ghilaf of the Holy Kaaba. Can somebody go up to them and tell them, please don't spend 25 million on this ghilaf, please. Use cheaper material and give all of that money to the poor people who are in need. You are wasting 25 million just to do the material of the Holy Kaaba. But now again, it is the house of Allah Azza.
What about the exorbitant amounts for walimas and, you know, for wedding programs?
Our cars, our homes, our vehicles, our clothes. Ya Sayyidi, till what extent, till which extent are we going to go stopping people from spending where they feel they want to spend?
So the person who has this wasawasa, we can advise them, instead of buying a 1 million rand car, buy 100,000. Exactly. The 900,000, you know, you help the poor and needy.
Over and above, when they're traveling to overseas, they don't need to book those business classes. Go in the normal classes. Why do you want to spend 5 to 10,000 more extra? Yeah. You want to give to go relaxed. It's only 8-hour journey. Don't spend that extra money. But the very same people who are found enjoying life and spending this wealth of Allah, which came as a blessing in their lives, on wonderful places and vacations, so on and so forth, they are the ones, because of shaitanic whispers, they mention these things to corrupt the minds of people. We should not fall prey to these people and their statements, Sayyidi. This is out of love for the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Imagine, wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho to kuch na ho, jaan hai wo jahan ki, jaan hai to jahan hai. Huzur, when the entire world came into existence because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Kareem sent His most beloved to us for our guidance. Yani, beloved is that you don't ever share. This is the dastur of the world. You wouldn't ever hear of people sharing what they love the most. You don't share what you love the most. Only that's what is permissible. Money is that which we all love. We all need money. We all need money to sustain in the dunya. But that what is so important to you, you spend that also in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look at this, subhanallah. From all the people of this world, from every creature on this planet, the most beloved to Allah is His beloved Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such an important figure and feature in this world, because of whom Allah even created this planet, to guide us, because we were going to go astray because of sinning, because of misguidance. Allah Kareem sent His beloved for us, for our guidance. And He called this the greatest favor Allah has given you and done for us. So this gathering is to proclaim that very same favor which Allah has done.
Subhanallah.
And that is to send His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba Ikram did it as well. There are numerous narrations. So Sayyidi, a person doesn't feel shy to celebrate his daughter's or son's birthday. People don't feel shy to go to large extent spending money on birthday and on food to feed the family. People don't waste time when it comes to anniversaries. They spend money on that. So what's wrong if a date was fixed, hall was booked, a venue was confirmed, and in the light of Sharia, where there's no intermingling of sexes,
there's no music,
there's no music, there's no haram, but rather a bayan is given, public is coming from far and wide, food is fed, subhanallah, all these virtuous actions is deemed as haram and forbidden, and bid'ate sayya'ah. So another attack of shaitan before, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we come to the end of the program, because these are the famous attacks of shaitan.
Yes.
That, you know, there is a narration that says, kullu bid'atin dalalatun. All innovations are bad.
Mm.
And this is exactly what we are saying, that yes, kullu bid'atin dalalatun. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but a person should remember, all bid'at, all innovations are not bad. They are good innovations and they are bad innovations.
Mm. So that hadith is talking about the evil innovations.
Evil innovations. Mm. All evil innovations are bad, Sayyidi. So the good innovations is, for example, Tarawih Salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made this permissible for us to perform in Jama'at.
Mm.
Whereas in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was individually performed in the homes of companions, Muslim, or in the masjid, or wherever it was convenient for them. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu decided to change this norm and system and make it as a Jama'at, as one congregation. Mm. Subhanallah. Mm. So something which did not exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now suddenly exists in the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. How come we don't consider this as an evil bid'ah, evil innovation, but we consider every other innovation as evil?
Also, for example, the Quran that we have today in the printed form, in the modern material,
100%.
We see that we
the Mus'haf that we recite, 100%.
We see that there's adhan being called out for tahajjud salah, in Makkah Sharif, well. Medina Sharif.
We travel on airplanes to go for hajj. Why we don't use camels and go for hajj,
Allah,
and horses and go for hajj, or whatever neki that was existing in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we really have to go into the depths of all of this, Sayyidi, life will become really difficult.
Mm.
It is a simple rule that every innovation can't be haram, can't be evil. Some are good innovation, some are bad innovation. Just as the person who innovated something bad and whoever practices that bad will get the guna and the sin until the day of Qiyamah. The initiator of that evil will be given bad deeds until the day of judgment.
Allah.
Just as the good innovator, whoever innovated something good, subhanAllah, in Islam, and if it is a rewardable act, the innovator will get thawab until the day of judgment.
SubhanAllah.
Allah Kareem will reward him. So subhanAllah, subhanAllah.
Allah.
Now that the time has come where people realize that without the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where would this have ummah been gone? So to recall this favor, the best way and the easiest way to educate Muslims is to have large gatherings of this nature, Sayyidi. Where an orator comes to explain the love of Rasulullah, he comes to instill the love and muhabba and infuse this into the hearts of people. From such gatherings, we get people who repent from sins, Sayyidi.
Yes, yes.
When we speak about the seer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from such gatherings, we see people removing chains from their hands, removing earrings from the ears. We see such people then making niyyah for sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for bringing the beard, subhanallah. It is through the blessings of such gatherings people make tawbah from hurting the feelings of their parents. They make tawbah from missing salah. They make tawbah from missing their fast. They make tawbah from various other gunas and sins. And this is because of discussing the blessed, beautiful, unmatched, unparalleled seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can never ever consider such a beautiful act. And before I conclude, Sayyidi, Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi ta'ala mentioned, I was there on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, where the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taken place. And he says, I saw rays of noor and light emanating. And I had realized this rays that was manifesting by itself was actually the noor of the angels.
Allah.
He says, Shah Waliullah, so many years ago, he mentioned this in his book, subhanallah, years before when people never considered that as bid'ate sayya, when people considered bid'ate hasana, people in the very same Makkah al-Mukarramah would celebrate the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal at the library of today. At that time it was a house.
Allah.
And Shah Waliullah says himself, I was present, he wrote in his book, I saw noor and light, people were speaking about the seer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after some centuries and time have passed, the very same bid'ate hasana transformed into bid'ate sayya, and now it is not allowed to be performed. However, all of this is only the tricks of the devil, ya Sayyidi. May Allah Kareem protect us.
Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Some very wise words and informative discussion by our Ma'asab. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, you know, it's also mentioned that the Khalifa Harun al-Rashid, his mother had a masjid constructed at the spot where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Unfortunately, that has been removed, and as Ma'asab mentioned, that a library has now taken place there. But nevertheless, as long as you have that ishq, that muhabba, and you keep it within the confines of the Sharia, don't let anybody stop you from celebrating and commemorating the blessed milad of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want blessings, if you want bounties and mercies of Allah azawajal in both worlds, continue celebrating the Eid Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep safe and keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Echoes of the beloved spills from in the air, lighting hearts with mercy beyond all compared. Echoes of